Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To you. Did you know this is the birthday of the church? This is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is every bit as important as Christmas and Easter because it's the day the Holy Spirit came. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My younger brother, who I see probably, who I talk to maybe every 6 months, called me a while back last winter and said, "Jimmy, I was sitting in the sauna and I had this thought about the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit?" His nickname is Bayball because he was a baby who bawled a lot, so doesn't get to church much. Anyway, he says, the Holy Spirit is the only way you know who God is. The Holy Spirit is the nudging to help your neighbor. It's the way we... Well, let's see. How did I say it? I think the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Anytime you do those things, you love somebody or help someone down the road, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We, who are Christians, are all full of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Okay, that's all I wanted to know. See ya." Click. No small talk, that's the way my brother is, but it's great. That's the way Finlanders are. That's the way I am, so that's what you see is what you get. Anyway, happy birthday to you, okay? The work of the Holy Spirit, a special day. A couple of announcements. Welka is not in the bulletin today, so all the ladies are invited to the program on Wednesday morning at 9:30. Hey, there's a couple of seats way up front. Come on up here, don't be bashful. Yeah, come along with Julie, too. Julie, who you got there? Oh, good. Hi, Reese. Welcome. There you go. The last Sunday of the month, we're receiving new members. This would be a good month for some of you who haven't joined to join us. We got four couples that are joining thus far, so we'll have a good bunch joining. The last Sunday of the month. We're looking, trying to track down Thrivent members. They've got gift cards. If we have a Thrivent member, we can apply for $250 gift cards to be used for anything that has to do with our program. We could help with the veggie stand. We could do things with the beef and corn feed. But we need to know who the Thrivent members are. So if you could let me know, we'll write your name down, and we'll work you through the process on how to get those funds. But it's free. I guess it's not free because you guys have been paying. But the church might as well use it or something like that. Highway cleanup is Tuesday. If you can help out, join us here at 10 o'clock. I think that's all we need. You see that Aiken County Triad, help for planning your funeral? With this congregation, the more proactive you can be as far as making your plans, giving up your driver's license, cutting down on all the stuff you have, thinking about when you can't take care of your place and moving, I get... You don't know how many calls I get from kids saying, "We're trying to talk our parents into thinking about moving." If you're thinking about that stuff, be proactive. Talk to them, okay? Let them know you're planning this. This is in the back of your mind. You're working on it. You're the only example your kids have. If you set the example, they're going to say, "Oh, I remember when Mom and Dad were going through that. They did such a good job. Maybe that's what we should do to help." So. This is just one program that's being offered. It might be something for you to think about, okay? Enough. Happy Pentecost. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Spirit comes down, O Lord, and moves across the face of the waters, the face of the earth, to touch our hearts, to touch our lives. We are given the idea that there is a God, there is a Creator, a Lord, who loves us and cares for us. And we've come to understand that you are a God of love, and you do have what's best in mind for your children. And so allow that Spirit to grow in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to think on these things and to react to your goodness and leadership and guidance. Help us to respond to your love by our words and by our deeds. So bless us in this hour. Send your Spirit into our lives again, that we might be stirred to action. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn this morning, we're going to have two songs on the board. Is Good, Good Father. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I see many searching for answers.
Who I am, it's who I am,
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Let us come into the light, the revealing and healing light of God. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection. Yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to living in your holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's join in the prayer of the day. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all peoples of earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as we invite our choir to sing their praises. To get back in the saddle again.
Yes, thank you, choir. Just so everybody knows, this is Denny Meidlinger's favorite song. The first reading for today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, surrounded by signs of fire, wind, and a variety of languages in their midst, the people were amazed and astonished at Jesus' promise coming true. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The psalm for today is from Psalm 104. Please read the bold print, and at the bold R, respond with, "Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth." How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All men look to you to give them their food in due season. Send forth your spirit, and they renew their face of the earth.
You give it to them, they gather it, and you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. Send forth your spirit, and renew the face of the earth.
You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Here ends the readings. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this day of Pentecost is found in the 14th chapter of St. John. Though the disciples struggle with Jesus' nature and identity, they receive the promise that they too will be identified with God and God's mission. Though we must leave them now, Jesus promises the coming of the Advocate, whom God will send to comfort and enlighten them. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not believe, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be with you, and he will be in you." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. We sing our sermon hymn, "Morning Has Broken."
Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1976, I entered seminary. I had to find out who Jesus was. The tradition at the seminary was for professors to preach the first couple of weeks until each one took a turn, so we got to see who was who and what was what. About the third or fourth day, we had a professor of New Testament, Bob Bartles, climb in the pulpit. He was short like me, and the pulpit was like being down here, okay? So it was like a bobblehead, like the first time I preached in this church before they built this riser. And he stood up to the pulpit and he pounded, "I am a heretic! And I hope that by the end of the year, you're heretics too." Now, the holy smokes, what have I gotten myself into? Speaking in tongues, the gift of the Holy Spirit had gotten to be big in that church at that day. Glossolalia is what they call it. Some people were given this gift to speak in tongues, others weren't. He had preached the previous week in a church against speaking in tongues, how it had broken churches apart, how it had broken families apart, how it had separated the people of God, and how they should not be using that gift. And a little old lady went through the line afterwards to shake hands, and she refused to speak with him. She said, "I will. The speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're a heretic because you don't accept it." So he was a heretic. 3 days later, professor of Old Testament, young fellow, very intelligent, nice family, very calmly said, "I've been blessed with gift of speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues in the Holy Spirit has brought me closer to God. I've found peace, I found joy, I found hope, I found happiness. It's brought my family together. It's brought our neighborhoods together. The gift of speaking in tongues is a gift from God, and I hope and pray that by the end of the year, you too have been given this gift." One side, the other side. I thought, ooh, this is going to be interesting. Today we celebrate the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of Pentecost. Pentecost was already celebrated amongst the Jewish faith. Pentecost was celebrated amongst Jews because it was a great feast 50 days after the Jewish slaves were released from Egypt, God gave them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments gave order to the people. You had 800,000 men, not including women and children, in the wilderness. People didn't know how to behave after being so many years in slavery. They had no rules. They were stealing each other's things. Moses was complaining, "What am I going to do, Lord? Why don't you help me with this?" And as a gift, God gave them these, what we call Ten Commandments. If you follow these Ten Commandments, it will give order to your community, to your travels. And it did. So this day of Pentecost was already celebrated, the day the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples. So there's lots of people in Jerusalem. There's an amazing crowd from all over, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and peoples from Judea, and all the rest, like Sue tried to explain. Anyway, the disciples are sitting in an upper room, locked. They're kind of living in fear of their lives. Jesus had ascended. He said he would send an advocate, which was the Holy Spirit. They're sitting around in this room, and all of a sudden, tongues of fire come on their head. And they start speaking in tongues. I don't understand it. Hollywood would do a great job with this. And they start speaking in different languages, and these are just fishermen from the Galilee. They go out into the streets, and there's all these people, and they start speaking in all these different languages. What does this mean, they're asking. Someone says, "They've had too much wine." I've heard some of you speak. No, we won't go there. How can these guys be speaking in our languages? They're just Galileans. And Peter stands up with the 11, raises his voice and addresses the crowd. He says, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen to what I have to say. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." First time I moved here, I was in aisle, and I went to the liquor store, had to get some communion wine, and and there's a sign that says happy hour 10 to 12 and 4 to 6. And I says, what's that all about? The gal at the register says, well, people have to get a jump start before they get on the lake. That's kind of what's happening here. Peter says, no, it's only 9 in the morning. We're not into this stuff yet. In the last day, God says he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on all the people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, the Holy Spirit says, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Notice, ladies, here, that the prophet said that men and women will both prophesy, not just men. This is a male-dominated culture. The Spirit is probably one of the first feminist speakers that come on the scene some 2,000 years ago. And Peter begins telling the story of Jesus. And when he's finished, the writer of Acts says, those who accepted his message were baptized. And there were about 3,000 baptized that day. 3,000. It's the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit of God has touched people, and people want to participate in the work of God and the work of Jesus. And that's the beginning of this movement they call the Christian church. Notice, first of all, that Pentecost is a God thing. Most often in life, God works in very ordinary processes to bring his will into being. Sometimes he uses people who are specifically gifted, but it's rarely very dramatic, rarely this dramatic. Professor sits at his desk evening preparing his lecture for the next day. His housekeeper comes in, lays the mail of the day on his desk. He begins to soft shuffle through them, throwing most of them into the garbage, but he notices a magazine that wasn't even addressed to him, and it opens to an article that says, the needs of the Congo mission, and casually he begins reading this article. Suddenly he's consumed by these words. The need is great here. We have no one to work the northern province of Gabon and in the central Congo. It is my prayer, this writer says, as I write this article, that God will lay his hand on one on whom already the master's eyes have been cast, that he or she shall be called to this place to help us. Author, Professor Albert Schweitzer closes his magazine and writes in his diary that day, my search is over. Man with 4 doctorates, he gives himself to the Congo. And this article, hidden in a periodical intended for someone else, is placed by accident on his desk. And he, by chance, notices the title and it leaps out at him. Was that chance? Well, that depends on your theology. Certainly wasn't chance that Professor Schweitzer responded to God's call. It's evident that God had been working in him for some time. And even though Schweitzer's commitment touched millions of believers around the world, it was a gradual thing. There's nothing very dramatic about it in the beginning. That's the way God normally works, very slowly, below the scenes. If you're waiting for something dramatic to happen to you, like being hit by this Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, it's probably not going to happen. You'll probably miss God's call, and that would be a real shame. Pentecost, God worked in such a way that no open-minded person could doubt that this was a God-breathed event. Something special happened on this day, 9 o'clock in the morning, with all these visitors in Jerusalem. First there's the wind, then there's the tongues of fire, and then there's this gift of inspired speech. I can't claim to understand what's all about, but I know the Spirit was working, and people wanted to follow Jesus after Peter's speech, huh? I haven't flown for a while, and you know all the things that are going on in airports and all the lines are going on, but the last time I went through there, I went into one of those shops, and there were all these CDs with different languages. You could take the CDs. Now all you got to do is app it. I would use Jimmy Lang, but he's up north fishing. Anyway, all you got to do is put it on, and you can learn all these languages. At least you get a modicum of understanding of what these languages are, all kinds of languages, so that when you get off the plane, if you're not fluent, at least you'll understand some of the speech of the people you're visiting. What's available at that airport counter on the apps came free to these first disciples. The Holy Spirit of God filled them so that they could speak in diverse languages. People in the crowd were bewildered to hear people from the Galilee speaking in languages that were all around the Mediterranean Sea. The mighty wind, the tongues of fire, the speaking in different languages. All of this isn't from man. It's from God. However, the best indication this event was from God was the instantaneous change that took place in the disciples, especially Simon Peter. I never figured this out until I started thinking about it just recently. Simon Peter, he was kind of he was a big boisterous fellow who moved in and said his words, but remember when on the night Jesus was arrested, he denies getting involved with Jesus, kind of hides and cowers. And then during the 50 days between Jesus' resurrection and this day, he says, let's go fishing instead of hanging around here. Jesus makes this fish meal for him. Peter didn't have any idea he was going to be commissioned to go into all the world. And yet here he is on the day of Pentecost with this enormous crowd. He boldly declares that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He's got freedom to do that. And quite miraculously, 3,000 souls are baptized and added to the church. Wow. Peter could have never done this on his own. Pentecost was definitely a God thing. Incidentally, if you ever go to Rome, St. Peter's of the Change, a big cathedral, go in and walk down, and there's this huge cross that kind of comes out of the front of the altar area with big chains. It reminds me of the chains that they have on the oar boats, to anchor boats. It's called St. Peter of the Change. Peter, he was so boisterous, he says he doesn't deserve to be crucified like Jesus. So the tradition has it that he was crucified hanging upside down. Peter was given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was changed by this, what happened on this day. And of course, God, things are still happening. Anywhere people will wait on the gift of the Holy Spirit and allow God's Spirit to do great things for them. God can work through you and through me today and tomorrow and the next day if we're open to His Spirit. I hope you don't come to church as you might come to a museum or a theater to be fascinated or to be entertained. I hope you come here each week prepared to receive a life-changing encounter with God's Spirit. Somehow that Spirit will touch your hearts that you might leave this place and do something new and different and life-changing. Huh? That means the Spirit's happening in your life and you're following it. And you're living in the Spirit. Huh? There's an author, Anthony DeMello, who tells a story I think is particularly appropriate for Pentecost. It's about a man who invented the art of making fire. The man took his tools and went to a tribe in the north. Long ago, it was very cold, bitterly cold. He taught the people there to make fire. They were very interested. He showed them the uses that they could put to work at fire. They learned how to cook. They learned how to warm themselves. And they wanted to thank him, but he snuck out of the village without any recognition. He didn't want recognition or gratitude. He would travel to the next village. People there were interested, a bit too interested for the peace of mind of their priests, who began to notice that this man was drawing crowds to himself, and they were losing their popularity, these priests were. So they decided to do away with him. So they poisoned him or crucified him or got rid of him, however you want, you like. But they were afraid that the people might turn against the priests. So they were very wise, even wily. You know what they did? They had a portrait of the man made, mounted it on the main altar of the temple. The instruments for making fire were placed in front of the portrait, and the people were taught to revere the portrait and to pay reverence to the instruments of fire, which they dutifully did for centuries. The veneration, the worship went on, but there's no fire. There was no fire. Of course, his point was that this could be a picture of the church today. The veneration and worship goes on, but there's no fire in our lives to live in the Spirit. We don't gather in this place each week simply to pay respects to Jesus, the crucified Christ. We gather here so that we might encounter the Spirit that would move us off the point, to do something in the world, to make this world a better place, to help God, or to allow God to use us to do his work. We gather with the expectation that we might encounter him so that he can fill us with his love and fill us with his wisdom. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God worked in a wondrous way to lift the church so long ago to a new level of service. And if you look at the work of the Christian church in the world today, this is the one institution that really makes the world a better place. I mean, there's a lot of other clubs and service clubs, and those are all great. The church is always the first to bring food, to help disaster relief, to visit the neighbor, to bring cookies, to offer a ride. On that first Pentecost, a new movement began, and it continues today. Today, the work of the Spirit's in our hands, here, in this place, at this time. Is that fire still burning in our lives? Is the wind of the Spirit still blowing in this world, in our lives? Are the waters still being parted? The Spirit is still willing to do its part if we're faithful to Christ's call to make disciples of all people. It's my prayer that Pentecost 2016 be a time when God's Spirit fills each one of us and helps us become what God has called us to become. That's my prayer. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. At the same time, let's join in singing hymn number 824, This Is My Father's World.
Let's pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Rooted in the abundant life and love of Christ Jesus, we pray for the life of the church, the lives of people in need, and the life of all creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O God, move among your people, and send forth your Spirit to make your church a holy place where people find welcome, Christ's compassion, and new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send forth your Spirit to renew the earth in the wake of storms, earthquakes, or human misuse. Breathe life into every mountain and valley, stream and ocean. Especially be with those who enjoy Mille Lacs Lake. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send forth your Spirit to unite all nations in caring for those who are vulnerable or in need. Help us to put aside our differences and to seek your will. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send forth your Spirit to aid people in distress. Sweep them up in the movement of your Spirit. Fulfill your everlasting promises for all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send forth your Spirit to knock down barriers that prevent people from receiving your good news. Guide interpreters and cultural ambassadors who open lines of communication. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Be with all those who are fishing this day. Keep them safe and in your care. Help us to take care of the resource you have blessed us with, the lakes and rivers, the clean air. We pray, O Lord, for those who are mourning this day. Be with Carolyn Tonneson and Daryl Kelly, who mourn the loss of loved ones. Be with those who are hurting or alone. And Lord, if you could look upon our families and keep them close to you, we would sure appreciate that. Send forth your Spirit to unite us with the saints of every time and place. By the gifts of your Spirit, rouse us to deeds of mercy and words of kindness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We deliver all this into your care, O God, trusting in the work of your Holy Spirit to bring all things into the risen life of Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
At Jesus' Last Supper, he gathered with his disciples and his family to celebrate the Passover. The angel of death had passed over the people of Israel and given them their freedom. The angel of death will pass over us who believe and are baptized into Christ Jesus. At that last meal, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are welcome at the table of the Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread. Please dip it in the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let us know and we will serve you bread that is appropriate. Table is set. Come, eat and drink.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long.
He bowed down before
turn to the prayer after communion on the bottom of page 6. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you make your home with us, bringing heaven to earth in this holy meal. Fill us with your Spirit as we go from here, that we may wipe away tears, tend to those in mourning and pain, seek the healing of the nations, and bring to earth the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of our Lord God Almighty, the blessing of Christ, the Lamb who was slain, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit of truth be among you and remain with you now and always.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.